Jack Hogendyke is a candidate for Congress, and he's on the other end of our line. Mr. Hogendyke, how are you?
Good morning. I'm doing very well.
You are supporting Rick Santorum for president. Why?
Well, looking at the candidates that remained, just so you know, I was originally supporting Herman Cain, and then he dropped out. And then of the four that were remaining, as we approached the end of February in the Michigan primary, I just felt that the best choice of those four was Rick Santorum. I'll support whoever comes out of the convention. But I like Rick Santorum because I think he's a man with a real strong moral center. He knows what he believes. He's not afraid to stand for what he believes in, and he doesn't back down. And I think he's somebody that can bring together all of the elements needed to win the nomination as well as win the general election in the fall.
It's interesting how you were a Herman Cain guy and had to switch mm-hmm. when Herman got out of the mix. A lot of folks are trying to support a candidate that they believe will beat Barack Obama as opposed
right.
to picking a candidate they love and believe in.
Well, I love and believe in Rick Santorum. Of the four, he's the one that I believe in the most. He's the one that I think most closely aligns with the things that I believe in. It's not like he's a lesser choice. I mean, you know, back in November, before Herman Cain dropped out, Rick Santorum was really down on the margins and hadn't really gained much momentum. And Herman Cain just really seemed like a great choice. But as things move forward, they change, you know.
What's your thought on Rick Snyder?
I think he's been doing a pretty good job. I mean, if you look at the all of the things that have been accomplished in the Republican caucus in the House and the Senate, and then you just look at how the state is slowly starting to turn around economically, I think there's been more good than bad. Rick Snyder is not a politician, and actually I think that's more good than bad. I think it's great that, you know, we have somebody who he's focused on what he's trying to get accomplished, whether you like it or not, and I think he's doing well in that regard.
Just wanted to get your take. There's much discussion here in this state, just like there has been in states around the Midwest, about how Tea Parties and the Republican Party is trying to take away the power of unions and collective bargaining and making this state a right-to-work state. What's
yep.
your take on that?
Well, I'm a strong supporter of right to work, but of course, I wouldn't frame it quite the way that you might suggest others are. I don't see this so much as taking away power from unions as I do see it as leveling the playing field for the labor movement, for workers, for employees, giving them that freedom of choice and that option to choose, you know, whether or not they want to associate with, be a member of, and pay dues as a condition of their employment. It's not an anti-union thing. And in fact, you know, right-to-work states have unions too, and they have, you know, strong and vibrant unions. But I think that the union bosses have just gone too far in, they have too much power, and it's been detrimental in some segments of the workforce.
Jack Hogendyke is a candidate for Congress. He wants Fred Upton's seat. Why in the world would you want to do that?
Well, Fred Upton's been in office for 25 years, and he has become a product of Washington. And the thing that I always say is that we have a constitution that's supposed to limit government, and government has become unlimited. Fred Upton often talks about being a powerful chairman of a powerful committee. And that's you know, moving the power into Washington is something the Constitution never intended. The idea is that power and liberty stays with the people. And my intention would be to go to Washington and do what I can to bring that power back to the people and not be someone who says, I'm a congressman. I know better than you what you need in your life. I know what kind of light bulbs you should use. I know how much water you should run through your toilet. I know which companies we should bail out and which companies should die on or survive on their own. Those kind of things, and that's the big difference between me and Fred Upton.
You wouldn't have voted for government action on the auto bailout?
Absolutely not. We have a process in place. It's called the bankruptcy courts. GM ended up going bankrupt anyway, even after the taxpayers bailed them out. And look at what we're left with. We're left with a $25 billion bill that the government still owes to the taxpayers. And they'll probably never see that money back.
Now, why do you think that? Because some monies have been paid back, and the industries are thriving and mm-hmm. becoming more fiscally responsible, and there's a lot of jobs involved there. Why don't you think they'll pay that money back?
Sure. I mean, a lot of good things have ended up happening, but those same good things could well have happened and probably would have happened under normal bankruptcy proceedings. But the amount that the government still owes back to the taxpayers is all dependent upon the value of GM stock. And right now, I think they're trading, $25, $26 a share. And it's not until that stock gets over $33, $34 that the value of the stock will be enough that the government can sell their holdings and earn back that $25 billion to go back to the taxpayers. And it's on principle, it was just the wrong thing to do. Whether it works or not, on principle, it just was not something that the government should be involved in. It's not a constitutional mandate for government to be bailing out private corporations. Private corporations need to succeed or fail on their own and find their own way. And again, that's what the whole bankruptcy process was intended for, to work their way out of a situation that they got themselves into.
I saw a mailer that went out that said that you voted for Governor Granholm's billion-dollar stimulus. Many times
right.
Republicans get on Democrats for spending too much money and supporting mm-hmm. these types of things. Respond to that.
Well, first of all, no one ever called it a stimulus until Fred Upton called it a stimulus. It was a 21st century jobs plan, but what Mr. Upton seems to conveniently have missed is that I voted against it. I voted for that bill. Almost everybody did the first time it came through the House, but then it went to the Senate, came back to the House, and I looked at it again, reevaluated it, and I was one of, I think, maybe 15 lawmakers out of the 110 in the House that voted against it. And, in fact, I wrote a no-vote explanation in the House Journal that said, I think that rather than take this tobacco settlement money and give it to a board and let that board decide who to give it to and who not to give it to, we should just give the money back to the taxpayers so they can invest it themselves in their own families and in their own businesses. But Mr. Upton, he doesn't want to acknowledge the fact that I voted no on that plan, and that's just the way it is.
All right, final question for you. Let's mm-hmm. say you get elected.
Yep.
The Republicans own the Congress, but the Senate's been another situation because the Democrats have that, and it seems like so many bills, so many policies get passed in the House, but when they get to the Senate, nothing happens. Will you feel frustrated that your work will be for naught unless that changes?
Well, it would be frustrating, Tony, but here's the difference between Democrats and Republicans, in my opinion, and this is something I will say I admire Democrats for. They use the bully pulpit to push through their ideas and their bills by forcing the issue through the media, through the public, and Republicans just tend to be a little too nice. We get good things done in the House, and it gets stuck in the Senate, and you never hear anything about it again. We need to speak with a louder voice. When we get good things done, we need to be able to stand up and defend those things and say, now we've got to get these guys in the Senate to buckle under and work and pass this legislation. Because I've seen Democrats do that to Republicans, and Republicans, have gone along with it. But I think that's just a problem that Republicans need to speak with a louder voice and believe more in what they do. And push on Democrats to go along on the Senate side.
All right. Before I let you go, Jack, one last
yeah.
question for you. There sure has been a lot of growth on the west side of the state, especially Grand Rapids. You just drive through downtown and you see the growth and the construction and the building.
Right.
What's been the secret to the success over there?
Private investment. You talk about the DeVos family, the Van Andel family, the Myers, and there's a lot of folks down in Kalamazoo as well, the Upjohn family, the Gilmore family, the Stryker family. They've made private investments in their community. You look at the Kalamazoo Promise, this graduation thing that you get a free education. That's all private investment, and private investment knows much better than the public ever will about how to make a community grow and prosper. Look at the Art Prize up in Grand Rapids. That's all private dollars, and it's bringing in all kinds of jobs and industry, and people are moving in. It's making a vibrant community. It's all about the private investment.
Jack Hogendyke is a candidate for Congress. He hopes to win Fred Upton's seat, and we appreciate your time, sir. Thanks so much.
Tony, thank you. I hope to talk to you again soon.